Hey, this is Alan Murabayashi with Photo Shelter. You're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James. Off to you, Sharky.
This episode is sponsored by our friends at FreshBooks. The weather is better, and if you're a freelance photographer or a small business owner, you'd much rather be out in it shooting rather than dealing with paperwork, right? And that's where the cloud-based accounting software from FreshBooks comes in. To sign up for your 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you, FreshBooks, for your support. Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 84. These things happen when you don't properly secure your gear. In this episode, an airline drops a Pelican case and gear goes tumbling. Sigma drops a camera at a very nice price. Conflicting Canon rumors abound. Capture One 9.2 is out with some cool workflow updates. A cool new device for your Nikon with support for other cameras on the way. Instagram hits another milestone. All that and more in episode 84 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Alan, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Alan Murabayashi is the chairman and co-founder of Photo Shelter, a site that since 2005 has helped photographers of all levels do more with their photos, like helping them to, quote, showcase, share, store, and sell imagery, end quote. Now, everyone has heard of Photo Shelter, of course, and they currently have over 80,000 people using that service. That is a lot of photographers. Alan has a degree from Yale University, so he's a really smart guy, of course, and has the distinction of being one of the founding employees of HotJobs.com, where he helped take it from a four-person startup to over 675 employees. He oversaw a staff of 50 engineers and was responsible for developing the giant that was HotJobs.com. He's an accomplished photographer in his own right, and if you want to check him out, head on over to his Instagram account where it's Allen3. That's A-L-L-E-N and the number 3. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 84 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Don't forget to head on over to thisweekinphoto.com and check out episode 470, where you'll see myself, host Frederick Van Johnson, and the awesome Juan Pons talk about a whole lot of photography goodness, and I think it was a really good show that you guys will really enjoy. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. All right, imagine you check your baggage filled with $20,000 in gear at the airport. You have a nice flight, and you see a baggage handler walk up with a few lenses in their hands, saying, "Whose lenses are these?" Well, that's exactly what happened to photographer Yosef Schidler of CJ Studios June 5th of this year while traveling to Detroit to shoot a wedding. Yeah, it just got worse. That was his kit for shooting someone's most important day. Ouch. He says that they forced him to gate check his Pelican case rather than carry it on as planned. And after the flight, he was horrified to find that his case was open and his gear was everywhere. Now, even if you weren't needing your gear right away to shoot, that would definitely make your heart drop, right? Or your blood boil. You might be really, really ticked off at somebody. Either way, you're going to have a strong reaction to that. And I don't care if your insurance fully covers things like this. If your gear is all over the place and you have a wedding to shoot, that is just not cool. In a phone interview with the Petapixel mothership, the photographer says he watched as his Pelican case with all his gear inside dropped off the loading ramp from a height of about 7 or 8 feet. The case burst open, and he says that his camera bodies and lenses went tumbling around on the tarmac. Yeah, that would be a surreal moment right there. I think it would all happen in slow motion, as those things do. He took out his smartphone to document things as they unfolded from that point, and so we'd have a little bit of evidence of the aftermath, and the video shows the open case and ramp workers with some of his gear in their hands. The 30-second video of this has gone viral, as you might imagine, and as of this recording, has been viewed over 250,000 times. Of the damage, he tells us at Petapixel, quote, "We're talking about thousands of dollars in damage. Broken lenses, a couple of broken mounts, and everything is scratched up. Weeks without my gear," end quote. Now, thankfully, he was able to borrow a friend's gear so he could shoot that wedding in Detroit. But it's the height of wedding season, of course, so his gear getting damaged like this didn't at all come at a good time. Well, there's never a good time for these things to happen, of course, but during wedding season is for sure not it. Further video that he shared with Petapixel shows him being directed to file a complaint with the baggage services office, where they tell him that the issue has been noted, that's their word, in their system. They tell him that they can't print out a copy of the complaint for him, and later when he emails American Airlines about this matter, the email he got said, quote, "I'm sorry, I was unable to locate an active property irregularity report based on the information provided. If you have not filed a report with us, please contact our office as soon as possible to have a courtesy file created," end quote. So he's filed a complaint, and now he waits to see how this all turns out for him. In the call, he tells us, quote, "Every wedding hall we're shooting in is asking to see our insurance. I have to have millions in liability insurance in case I knock something over and damage the building. But an airline can damage $20,000 worth of gear and tell me to call us about it later and file a claim. It's unbelievable," end quote. Okay, there are some lessons to be learned here for everyone. First, your gear needs to be insured, of course, and you probably want full replacement value with new gear. That's going to be more expensive, but insurance companies aren't going to give you anywhere near enough to replace your gear without that, and you're probably not going to be thrilled about buying used gear anyhow. So what you want is often called an inland marine policy. Without that, you're just not going to get full coverage in most cases. Now, if you're shooting professionally, and a lot of people don't know this, chances are better than not that your homeowner's insurance policy does not cover your gear. I mean, watch what happens when your stuff is lost or stolen or damaged and you go to file a claim and they ask you some questions and they're like, oh yeah, that wasn't covered. In fact, many policies specifically exclude gear if it's used for paid work. So definitely check into that or you could be out of luck. Also, if you're checking gear with an airline in a case that's not properly secured, that is a recipe for disaster right there. And they're not always going to let you carry that stuff on. So you definitely got to make sure that everything is good to go if it has to go in the belly of the plane. Now, this photographer having his gear in a Pelican case was a good start. Those things are rock solid, incredibly strong, and generally are going to protect your gear. That is, unless they crash to the ground and they burst open. And that is where securing it comes in, and it appears that he didn't do that in this case. No pun intended. Now, the TSA, of course, is going to be running your luggage through the x-ray machine, but they also may need to access the case as well. So at the very, very least, you need to have locks on there that the TSA can use their keys to unlock. But I also recommend going a step further and using zip ties to secure the case as well. That's going to make sure that it is kept closed, and you're going to know if someone was in there or not also. That's going to help make sure that if your case goes tumbling off of the ramp or whatever, that it has a better chance of staying closed because those things are incredibly, incredibly strong. Now, I also recommend putting some zip ties in a Ziploc bag inside your case because if the TSA needs to open it and replace them, they're right there. They'll put the lock on, of course, but it would be nice also if they put on the zip ties, and often they're going to do that for you. That is, if they even need to cut open the zip ties in the first place. If they do, you want to have replacements in there that they can use in case they don't have any handy. It's not their responsibility to replace your zip ties. If this photographer had taken these steps and had a lock as well as zip ties on there, his gear wouldn't have tumbled across the tarmac. It would have remained closed and locked, and hopefully, from a fall of 7 or 8 feet or so, it would have been just fine. Listen, as photographers, it's up to us and no one else to make sure our gear is protected to the extent that is humanly possible, of course. Especially if you're in business and for darn sure if you're shooting weddings. I mean, this is an event that for most people only happens once, and they need their photographer to arrive with all their gear intact. So it's up to you to make sure that happens. Now, in my opinion, this photographer could easily have taken some steps to ensure that that happened. Not locking or otherwise securing a Pelican case leaves open the possibility that this could occur, and you have to remove that possibility. You just do. I'm sure American Airlines will claim that he didn't have his case properly secured. After all, it's not their fault that it came open. Accidents happen. If you've got it locked and you have zip ties on there, it's just not going to come open. Not from a 7 or 8 foot fall. It'll be good to go. Next. We love rumors here on the show, and that's partly why we don't sign NDAs and get our hands on gear before they're out. I think it's a lot more fun to talk about what might be coming and to see how everything pans out personally. Well, according to our friends over at Canon Rumors, Canon has a number of things up its sleeve for 2017. One is an update to their EOS 6D, which of course would be due for a refresh right about that time, of course, but the other is said to be a new DSLR. In other words, a completely different model. Let's see, we have the 5D, the 6D, the 7D, and you wouldn't be crazy at all if you thought that perhaps it might be called the 8D. Because I don't think it's going to be a 4D, personally. Or it could be something entirely different. But you know how things go with Canon's nomenclature. It could be an 8D, it could be a T7i, a T8i, who knows? This rumor is a new DSLR out of Canon, not the rumored mirrorless body that people actually want to buy, because the ones they have now, the EOS M system, is just not selling like they had hoped. So who knows what it's actually going to be? You're definitely going to have to stay tuned for that. But you know what? I can't think of a hole in Canon's lineup that could be filled by a new body, one that doesn't already exist, aside from the mirrorless body is what I'm saying. So I just don't know. I mean, we're going to be seeing more rumors, of course, as we get closer and closer to the Photokina show in September 2016, but we might not see it then, especially after that Japanese earthquake that happened not too long ago. That set the production schedules of a whole lot of companies back by a few months. So we'll see how things shake out here. Next. In past episodes, we've talked a great bit about software from Phase 1 called Capture One Pro that seeks to take some of the pieces of pie away from Adobe Photoshop Lightroom, and slowly but surely, they're winning the hearts and minds of people. And with version 9.2 out right now, they take another step forward toward that. If you're a professional photographer especially, you're going to really enjoy the editing workflow upgrades that are in this new version. Some of those new improvements are ways to access assets quickly and precisely, a new select set method of rating and culling, a new color management module, and a new shortcut engine. For those that are dealing with a lot of photos, that's some great, helpful stuff right there. So of these new improvements, Phase 1 product manager James Johnson says, quote, "Pro photographers deserve a strong ally to vanquish workflow issues and give them the most reliable, efficient workflow and performance. Capture One Pro 9.2 is about workflow, not work." End quote. Now, if you're a new customer, you can get Capture One Pro 9.2 for $299 US or upgrade from version 7 or 8 for just $99. And don't forget, they have a free trial, of course. So if you're sick of Lightroom or whatever else you're using to edit your photos right now, have a look at this awesome software from Phase 1. Next. As we always say here on the podcast, thanks to the amazing technology available to us, sharing our photos is so easy. And so is running your business if you use FreshBooks. Whether you make your money with photography or you have another small business, you'd rather be shooting and editing your photos than dealing with paperwork, right? I know I would. Well, FreshBooks solves this problem by making it incredibly fast and easy. Their amazingly simple cloud-based invoicing solution keeps your cash flow details all in one place so you know exactly who you've invoiced, who's paid, who hasn't, and what your income is. And their FreshBooks mobile app is awesome. It lets you take pics of your receipt and organize them later so you have them all ready to go come tax time. Do yourself a favor and check out FreshBooks. You'll be more prepared, less stressed, and you can get back to enjoying your life and doing what you love most. Amazingly, on average, FreshBooks users get paid a full 2 weeks faster when accepting online payments. They cut 2 days a month of administrative tasks, and they double the revenue in the first 24 months. More time shooting means more time to make money rather than shuffling papers. And right now, FreshBooks is offering a free 30-day trial to our listeners. Just go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you so much, FreshBooks. Some really weird, unusual things have happened thus far in 2016, as we know. And this one definitely qualifies. You'll recall that back in February this year, we told you about Sigma's unveiling of the Quattro, a mirrorless camera featuring its APS-C size foveon sensor, but pricing and availability were left out of that announcement. Here it is now, a full 4 months later, as I record this in late June 2016, and Sigma has finally dropped the other shoe and revealed that their SD Quattro camera is coming in July, And get a load of this. The body is only going to go for $800 US. Now, that is crazy talk right there. That is pretty darn cheap for what you get in this camera. For one, the Foveon sensor technology is awesomeness, and the one in this body has a resolution equivalency of 39 megapixels. I say equivalency because remember, the Foveon technology is unlike the other sensor technology out there, so Sigma has to do a little bit of figuring with it. That's right, I said figuring. It's kind of sort of a word, but we're going to go with it here. And when Sigma does all the proper math, they come up with that 39 megapixel figure. Whoa, that kind of worked out there. Figuring it is. In all seriousness now, this new body comes in considerably less than the company's SD1 and SD1 Merrill bodies and most of the other APS-C offerings out there, including Sony's awesome A6300 by a full $200. And if that's not cool enough, you can buy the SD Quattro in a bundle with Sigma's awesome 30mm f1.4 HSM Art Series lens, and it only costs you $200 more. That is incredible because that is a $500 lens. So you could buy the bundle, sell off the lens, and make yourself a couple few hundred dollars or so. So for $1,000 US, you can get a 39 megapixel mirrorless camera and that awesome lens, and that is amazing. Sigma is playing to win here. And you know what? If you think about it, they really have to now, don't they? Their cameras are really remarkable, but no one really talks about them, and that's a shame. This is a company whose lenses overshadow their cameras, and that's really unfortunate because they have some really solid offerings. In fact, if you think about it, Sigma has been more serious about mirrorless technology than Canon and Nikon have. Although, if you believe the rumors that we've talked about here on the show, that's going to be changing coming up. Although, with that earthquake in Japan not too long ago, that might push things into 2017 because everyone was going to be unveiling things, we think, at Photokina in September of 2016, that big show in Cologne, Germany. But now, maybe not. Maybe it'll be 2017 after all. But as for Sigma, if you haven't had a look at their cameras yet, I think it's definitely worth having a look at, especially if you're looking to change systems. Maybe you're in the Canon or Nikon DSLR system and you want to do something different. Sigma is definitely worth having a look at. But remember, they're all just tools. I can't count how many times I've claimed to be a diehard Nikon or Canon guy, only to switch sides a few times and then work Sony into the picture somehow. Tools. They're just tools. You know, we get caught up on being team this or team that because we have thousands of dollars invested in them, a lot of money, and I think we forget these things. Tools. That's all they are. As I was telling a listener on Instagram just yesterday, it's good to know what else is out there in the market. Knowing what the competition is doing and staying on top of things like you're doing here on the podcast will make you a better, more informed consumer and photographer. You've got to know what tools are available if you're going to select the right ones after all. And this Sigma SD Quattro is a compelling camera, I think. 39 megapixels with a 9-point hybrid autofocus, which pairs phase detection for speed and contrast detection for accuracy, a 2.3 million pixel electronic viewfinder, also known as an EVF, remember it's mirrorless camera here, and a pretty rugged dust and splash-proof design. It's a little goofy looking, but I think I can get over that. After all, your hand is going to be around it. It's not like many people are going to see it. So what does it really matter, right? And not all hammers are winning points for their beauty anyhow. Again, they're just tools. Now, oddly, Sigma didn't mention anything about the SD Quattro H, the bigger APS-H size sensor version of this camera with an equivalent resolution of 45 megapixels. So I think that's interesting. I don't know what's up with that, but they didn't mention that at all this time around. And who knows, maybe after they announced it originally, people weren't so excited about it and they're just going to ditch it and pretend like it didn't happen at all. Other companies have done that before. In addition to updating us on the SD Quattro, Sigma also unveiled pricing for their EV630 external flash unit and its price tag of $380 US. This flash will be available in July 2016 as well for Sigma cameras with Canon and Nikon compatibility coming soon. It'll do high-speed sync, has a slave mode, modeling light function, AF assist, can be adjusted from full power on down to 1/128th power, and looks like someone from back in the 1980s designed it, thanks to this really weird, bizarre on-off dial on the front of it so you can turn the beep on and off. Because that's something you need a large dial for and access to. No, you do not. It is just goofy. You know, that is something that can and should be a menu item. It's not at all something that users are toggling on and off frequently. They're just not. You're either a person that likes your flash and your other gear beeping at you, or you're not. And personally, I'm in the not camp. Now, goofy flash aside, the Quattro bodies look to be pretty darn cool. So stay tuned, because when these things are out, I have a feeling people are going to rave about them. Sigma is top notch. Their lenses are amazing. So definitely head on over to Sigma's website and check out what they have. Next. As you all know, I'm a big proponent of utilizing Instagram if you're a photographer. Photos are meant to be seen, and it's a great way to make that happen. So Instagram just announced that it has a 500 million users, and 300 million of them are using the app every single day, and that should be motivating to people. Now, recently, there was a report that engagement on the social media service was down, but a lot of this has to do with growth, of course. There are a lot more people than ever using this service, and as you follow more and more people, you can't possibly keep up with it all, so engagement goes down. If you were following 5 people on Instagram, you would easily be able to see, like, and comment on all of their photos, or a healthy percentage of them, of course. But if you're following hundreds or even thousands, good luck with that. It's just not possible. Not unless you have no job, you don't go to school, and this is all you do all day. Otherwise, for the rest of us, it's just not going to happen. Regardless, I believe that having a presence on Instagram these days is key. So many have rocketed into the hundreds of thousands of followers by posting their photography, and that is amazing. Entire careers have been made as a result of posting on Instagram. And thanks to many of you listening to this podcast, I just topped 15,000 users myself on Instagram, and that is amazing. And I'm posting more of my photography over there these days. One of my rodeo photos, for instance, has hundreds of likes so far, and that's a photo that wouldn't have otherwise been seen had I not posted it, of course. Photos are meant to be seen, and Instagram is an amazing way to make that happen. So I think it's important to get your work out there. You know, we're photographers. There's no use in hoarding photos. You gotta show them sometime. Next. I love it when people come out with cool gear, which extends the functionality of our cameras, or otherwise makes doing what we do that much more enjoyable. And such is true with a cool new product called Pinout. It's a remote shutter release, intervalometer, and geotagging device that also has a loss/theft component to it, and it does a whole lot in a really, really small package. Currently, this awesome little gadget is only available for Nikon DSLRs, but the company says that more brand compatibility is definitely going to be on the way. This is not at all a huge company, but they had a really great idea, and they definitely must be Nikon shooters because they chose the Nikon horse to back here. Using it with your Nikon couldn't be any easier either. You just attach it to the proper port on your camera and pair it with the Pinout smartphone app, and it's that easy. But first, you've got to make sure that you have a compatible Nikon, because not all of them have the port for that to plug into, especially the more lower-end consumer models. You know, I don't at all miss the days when it was an all-day process just to get things to work with your camera, your computer, or any other electronics. These days, things are so streamlined, and with apps, it makes it just incredibly easy, and that's really appreciated. Now, the remote trigger, of course, lets you trigger your camera from a distance away or set an interval timer for time lapses without having to physically be there to press the button. And even if you don't pick up an item like this, you should definitely get a dedicated remote trigger. They're like $8 tops on Amazon.com. I use one from a company called Altura, and it works every darn time. Now, the GPS feature, of course, not only lets you geotag your photos so you know where you shot them, assuming you don't already have that in your camera, of course, but it also alerts you when you get too far away from your camera if you happen to leave it behind, or if someone walks off with it in the case of theft. What's really cool about the remote trigger function, which is activated via the app on your smartphone, is that not only can you press the button to activate it, you can also shake your phone, press one of the volume buttons, or even use the mic to trigger it. That is all pretty darn cool. And those are especially helpful because if you're taking a photo of yourself, for instance, for a self-portrait, or maybe you're in a group with a bunch of family members, etc., fiddling for the button on your phone screen is a huge pain. Being able to press a button that you can actually feel, like the volume button on your phone, is incredibly helpful and appreciated. So this Indiegogo campaign for the Pinout was 115% funded back in January, but you can still get one by putting down your pledge right now. And remember, as with Kickstarter, Indiegogo is not a store. There's always a chance that you won't get the product that you back, so you need to know that. This company's basic kit, which includes the remote shutter and loss prevention, goes for $24 US, and the pro kit, which also adds geotagging and time-lapse functions, is $30 more. But if that's not enough for you, you can get their full kit, which does everything I've mentioned thus far, but includes HDR functionality, bulb ramping, and other cool features for $89. If you'd like the link to their Indiegogo page, hit the show notes for episode 84 at petapixel.com/podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 84 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question to answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I hope you guys do, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. Also, don't forget to go to thisweekinphoto.com. Check me out in episode 470, where you can watch or you can listen. We had a great time, and I think you guys would really enjoy it. And if you'd like to help support this show, you can support our sponsor, FreshBooks. Head on over to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. They've got an amazing service, and if you're in business, you definitely want to check that out. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 85. Well, it's f8 2/50 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.